You're watching Tip TV Finance with me, Jenny Hammond and Zach Mayer. And joining us in the studio is Chris Justin from Seven Investment Management. Chris, how are you doing today?
Yeah, very well. How are you?
Good, thank you. So what have you got for us?
I just think at the moment, given what's happened, we had some data out of Europe today, and I'm sure you're sick to death of purely talking about what's going on in the US. So I thought, really, Zach? Janet Yellen, your favourite central banker in the world? Exactly. So what I thought we could do is just talk about Europe in the context of what's going on in the US, as well as some of the positive things that we've got in the global economy at the moment, as well as some of the negative things and some of the bits and pieces that we're looking at.
Good. Well, let's start with the positives.
Well, yeah, the ticks in the box are the fact that some of the survey data that's holding up since Donald Trump's got in, you know, is looking still relatively robust. That catchy title, the Citigroup Economic Surprise Index, the G10 is looking quite decent. There aren't really any outliers in there, which is a bit of a surprise. And generally speaking, when we look at a lot of the economic data, as well as the fact this new normal, right, which we've spoken about for the last couple of years, is one of the more boring strap lines, if you like, in the investment industry, but lower, slower growth and everything else, to a degree at the moment, is being dispelled by what's going on with inflation. The question is, in 3 to 6 months, once that base effect of oil does drop out of the inflation numbers, is whether or not that is going to creep back. But at the moment, where we're looking at headline inflation, and even core inflation in Europe as well, I think it was 0.9%, isn't looking too bad. And we've got to think, this is an economy as well, Europe I'm focusing on specifically at the moment, where we're worried about deflation. We're worried about getting into that spiral that has been the curse, if you like, of Japan over the last 20 years or so. And that's why Mario Draghi brought out the bazooka, and that's why he pumped so much money into the economy, and yet all of a sudden we're talking about inflation and whether or not they need to be tapering what they're doing there. So I suppose a positive is that some of the macro data coming out of there is fairly solid. Where inflation is concerned as well, where that has been driven by the consumer in Europe, it can be potentially counterproductive in the fact that as inflation starts to tick up, that means real wages are affected. If real wages are affected, that means people aren't necessarily going to be putting their hands in their pockets and spending as much money, which does have a knock-on effect in the economy. But hopefully the slack of that will get taken up by Asia. And there does seem to be demand there. Does seem to be a sustainable amount of demand there. So hopefully that will be able to continue that trend in the Eurozone. So for us, we're looking at that quite closely at the moment and whether or not we want to switch some of our inflation trades that we're playing in the US over towards the Eurozone.
Are you not worried about political risk in Europe?
Yeah, definitely. And that is that's the other side of the coin. So I was saying you've got your positives and your negatives. Political risk is one. Marine Le Pen is obviously the elephant in the room, or the 600-pound gorilla.
How much are you factoring her in? Because it's becoming more and more likely that she might actually make it.
Well, more and more likely in the context of what's happened over the last year or two. Had we not had those unexpected outcomes of Donald Trump and Brexit, I don't think people would be taking this as seriously.
Yeah.
But as we know, we just can't discount these things anymore. So you can't really look at the polls. It's really difficult to look at the betting markets this is concerned, because all of them would prove so wrong. You have to take it seriously. It's not a zero risk.
Now look at euro dollar. So it's like above 105, she's not going to win it. Below 105, she could win it. So the markets, in some ways, it's a bit like the bond market with interest rates. I mean, that's that flip for March, from 20% to 70%, very, very quickly. And so the markets tend to, in a way, be better than the pollsters. But I mean, if the Eurozone, presumably, even if there was some Frexit thing, I mean, that wouldn't necessarily affect. Does that necessarily affect the investments you would choose?
From our perspective, I mean, if you look at sectors, as you know, we are top-down macro. We do occasionally make sector calls. A good example of that was what happened post-Trump getting in, the fact that we did look to get some bank exposure. But if you're looking at sectors in Europe, you'd probably look more towards industrials rather than banks at the moment, because if Marine Le Pen did get in, it's the banks likely that would be affected. And as you're absolutely right, again, in the same way that cable was the thing that was the best bellwether, if you like, for sentiment towards the referendum, and continues to be so where the UK is concerned, again, euro dollar is going to continue to reflect exactly what the perception is of what might happen or might not happen with Marine Le Pen. But the other thing we have to talk about, other than the political risk in Europe at the moment, and just parking France for just a second, is the potential taper tantrum. The phrase that we used a lot in the US is that as we continue to see robust data come out of the Eurozone, are we going to see Mario Draghi potentially go towards tapering down what they're doing from a quantitative easing point of view? We've taken for granted the amount that they're buying up and that this is still going on in the background. They're still artificially suppressing volatility. We're still creating this benign environment. So if he does then, we see continued uptick in survey data and what have you, the PMIs arguably coming out of there, what people are looking at more closely rather than GDP. Are we going to see him say, right, right, we might turn the tap off, not necessarily now, but in X amount of months. There's going to be some kind of forward guidance, and you could see a wobble there as a result. So those are the two things that we're kind of concerned about where that's concerned.
Does it seem like Asia was the safest place then, really?
I don't know whether or not you could say that's a huge throwaway comment. I mean, the renminbi is under less pressure than it was, which is, again, for us, that's a bit of a tick in the box. But the big one, really, that we're looking at, and we've removed some risk from the table, if you like, or when I say risk, we've removed some equity exposure away from the US, because a lot of the enthusiasm and a lot of the initial buoyancy, if you like, that went towards Trump winning and all of this positive stuff, the question is, how much can that be delivered? Because a lot of it has now been priced in. And do you want to continue to get exposure to that area? Because those are lofty expectations that we've got of what might happen in the US. And at the moment, one of the negative sides, again, when we're talking about the other side of the coin, is that he's being rather distracted by non-economic policies and his Twitter account. So with that in context, this is why we're having to look at other things, because then you could see a bounce in other markets where people move assets from X to Y. So I don't think necessarily we can continue to ride that Trumpflation trade, because a lot of that does seem to be priced in.
Yeah. And finally, a potential trade war between Trump, obviously America and China, that doesn't concern you?
I think it's another one of those concerns you have to think about as a tail risk. So it's one of these things you have to factor into all of your scenario planning. And then really, we're all working this out on the fly. If you've got an enthusiastic novice in as president of the United States, you have to react as and when he's making decisions.
Super, Chris. Thank you. Chris Justin there from Seven Investment Management.